ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 17। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द लॉर्ड स्लेज द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस। सत्यम विधातुं निजभृत्यभाषितं व्याप्तिं च भूतेष्व अखिलेषु चात्मनः अदृश्यत्यद्भुतरूपमुद्वहा स्तंभे सभायां न मृगं न मानुषम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To prove that the statement of His servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in His wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is He present in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes, my Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad Maharaj's statement, the Lord proved that His devotee, as declared in the Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kauntaya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Prahlad Maharaj's demonic father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed, since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotee, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here. By manifesting His form as Narsingadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in form that could not be said to be fully man or a lion." Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Satyam Vidhatum Nijabhritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Chibhutesh Vakilesh Chatmanaha Adrishatyadhuta Rupamudvahan Stambi Sabhayam Namrugam Namanusham. To prove that the statement of His servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form, never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in His wonderful form in the assembly hall. It's a very auspicious day of Lord Narsingdev's appearance. We seek all devotees' blessings to speak something about Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narsingdev. And here, Narad Muni, in his ecstasy of narrating this pastime to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is glorifying, even though the pastime had taken place many thousand years back, the expression of Narad Muni, you could see, it looks just now it's happening. So therefore he calls Adhuta. Like yesterday I was sitting in the garden, our garden. Usually something which is wonderful, that is imaginary in the material world. If you go to Disneyland, most of it's imaginary, illusory. But it creates a powerful effect. So therefore, people have a natural conditional concept, anything which is wonderful has to be mythological and imaginary. But here, Anything which is wonderful has to be Lord's creation or Lord Himself. Beating all the intellectual understanding of Hiranyakashipu, all the perceived ideas, how he can avoid the power of Lord Vishnu's Maya. And therefore he begged the benediction in such a way that Lord Vishnu did not disrespect the benediction given by Lord Brahma. In that way, he maintained the words of Lord Brahma also. Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. Even he is a servant of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, as Prabhupada explains, by manifesting his form as Narsingdev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. And then Prahlad Maharaj himself says, in other words, that my Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities, you have killed my father. He's remembering the act which Lord Narsingdev did against Hiranyakashipu and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, if there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and killing him, you have acted just to prove true words of your devotee. There is no other cause. So who is this devotee? Narad Muni. So historically, Lord Narsingdev came for Prahlad Maharaj to save. But from Prahlad's point of view, actually he came to just to make the words of Narad Muni come true. What was Narad Muni's word? That do not kill. He is not ordinary, he is a Mahabhagavat. When Prahlad came, how could, according to the sanskaras, Hiranyakashipu is a demon and Kayadu his wife. So that combination cannot accidentally come as a great devotee. And especially in Satyayuga. Satyayuga is everything so organized. From a demon's womb, a demon only has to come. And therefore they also do big yagyas. Hiranyakashipu, it was not that, okay, I am a demon, what can I do now? I have no choice. So let me remain a demon. Now, he became a demon by his own choice. And then when he wanted a son, he was looking for a son who could be a greater demon. And therefore he also invoked. You see, it's not that there were no people who were performing yagyas, but the offering was going to the demons. The mantras were being chanted. In fact, Narsingh Puran says, Hiranyakashipu started asking everyone to chant Namo Hiranyakashipayanam. No, everybody should chant the names of Hiranyakashipu. And he had the power to benedict people who were chanting that mantra because he was controlling all the demigods. So Prahlad did not accidentally become a pure devotee. That happens in Kali Yuga. We all accidentally became devotees, of course. Prabhupada's great mercy was there. From a good samskaras, nice family, but the child turns out to be a demon. Or first class demon, but best devotee comes out. Kali Yuga, anything can happen. Shocking. But with Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad, it was Narad Muni when he came there. One can quote another shastra, Prahlad Maharaj had done something in his previous life, did some puja, agyata sukruti, therefore he came. That minimizes the value of the words of a pure devotee. That story is there. But according to Prahlad Maharaj, only because Narad Muni made that statement, here is a pure devotee. And demigods had the power, had the faith in the words of Narad Muni. They could have imagined, I don't know what, Narad Muni is not a practical person. He's talking big philosophy. Let us take care of this child. Let him come out. Let us see if he becomes a devotee. Then we will give it to Hiranyakashipu. No, they believed. Not only they believed in the words of Narad Muni, it is explained, all the demigods who had come to kill Prahlad, they circumambulated. Not to Kayadu, but to the womb of Kayadu, fully convinced that he is a pure devotee of the Lord. So that statement of Narad Muni is what Prahlad is remembering in his prayers. To make the words of Rishi Vakyan Rana, to make the words of your pure devotee come true, you appeared. And here Narad Muni, while narrating the pastime, is not saying, I made these words and Lord came and he protected him. Actually it was spontaneously could have said it. But Narad Muni is so excited, even after so many thousands of years, he did not analyze. He just glorifies. Satyam vidhatam nije bhritya bhashitam. That Prahlad is simply wonderful. Lord Narsingdev's appearance is simply wonderful. Never before. That's how Leela means that a non-devotee can never understand. And devotee marvels. How is it possible? If your question is answered, then it is not Leela. When your question has a bewildering answer, more bewildering answer than the question, which raises more questions, that is pastime. Because trying to hold the pastimes of the Lord within our intellectual capacity is a sign of atheism. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned, aggressive intellectualism is a sign of atheism. And therefore, Krishna gives the glimpses to everybody to accept the most extraordinary activities of the Lord. As I was sitting in the pond, near the pond, you could see the fish. Amazing colors. As if somebody has painted. You name the color and there are those colors. Saffron or light saffron. Black, bluish, shining silver. And they're in the water. That itself is very amazing. That some living entities, you know, when you swim, how long can we swim? Even the most champion swimmer, he can't reside there. A greatest swimmer cannot say, okay, I'm going to change my residential place. Henceforward, I'm going to stay in the water. He can't. He can swim for a few hours, hoping to make that record and come back and go to some hotel and enjoy. But there is a whole inhabitation in the water and they're blissfully unaware about existence beyond their place and colorful. Therefore, it is explained that simply by seeing Krishna's creation, the most wonderful creation, how can you not believe in the most wonderful performance of the Lord? That takes greater stupidity in not accepting the supreme wonderful activities of the Supreme Lord. You have to be really stupid. And therefore Prabhupada would be very aggressively blasting the scientist, atheistic scientist, because they would take the role of, you know, stupid people for not accepting the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only we don't accept the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for us there is no problem to accept the existence of the Lord in the most wonderful manner. Never before, you have never seen such phenomena where half lion and half human being, you only have heard about it. There is no precedent to this. The Lord coming again. He came, he performed his act. How long did he stay? It does not mention that Lord Narsingdev married here. You know, Lord Narsingdev was born here. Lord Narsingdev had parents. One of the only incarnation other than Varadev, who was suddenly came, suddenly killed and suddenly disappeared. Did not stay long. He made his mother as a pillar. Pillar gave him birth. So Lord has the power to make his mother inert matter if he desires, or he can make his mother Yashoda or Devaki also. You can't stop him. That is his power. And therefore, in that sense, Hiranyakashipu was Ayabai, you know, giving birth to Lord Narsingdev. He broke the pillar and Lord appeared there. So he did that service to Lord Narsingdev. So therefore, that is the power of Lord Narsingdev. That is the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that figure, even though Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship the most beautiful form of Radha and Krishna, the charming, sweet, you can't fear them. You can interact with them as sweetly as possible. But still, Lord Narsingdev, he's such a fierce form. When you see a lion, when you hear about lion, when you hear the roar of a lion, it's very scary. It can deafening sound. And you can imagine when Lord Narsingdev came, the description is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami or Narad Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj. His appearance was causing all kinds of disturbances. The whole material universe was tilting. It was piercing entire system. And the sound, the roar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was so wonderful that Hiranyakashipu, you can imagine the power of Hiranyakashipu was so great. Simply by blinking of his eyes, he could shake Indra. He could shake Chandra. He could shake Vayu. He could shake Yamaraj also. By the name of Yamaraj, everybody is feared. But Yamaraj was feared by Hiranyakashipu. Even Sun God was feared. He was controlling all the demigods just by raising his eyebrows. And that Hiranyakashipu, when Lord Narsingdev appeared, it is explained that he was looking like a small, insignificant insect. As small as an insect. And therefore Prabhupada explains that our position in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are non-entities. Our existence is not even considered. We are non-entities. We are called as living entities. But when you compare to the Supreme Lord and His creation, we are non-entities. Our existence is non-existent. And what to speak of our opinion? We have big, big opinion now. You know, the results are going to come. Election results. Everybody will be an analysis. He'll make his analysis, opinion. Why this happened? What should have happened? That is the value of our opinion. If we are non-existent, our value is not even considered, what to speak of our opinion? And Hiranyakashipu was so great, but when the Lord appeared, he looked like an insect. Easily crushed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, this whole pastime of Lord Narsingdev appearing and killing Hiranyakashipu and bestowing his mercy to Prahlad is one of the most charming pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, Sri Gurudeva Goswami, within 7 days, almost one full canto, he dedicates to this pastime of Lord Narsingdev. And he did not stay for a long time. Ramchandra's pastime, of course, there in the Valmiki Ramayana. He stayed for so many thousands of years. You could narrate so many things. But Lord Narsingdev must have come for a few minutes. He heard Prahlad's prayers, gave him a benediction, warned Brahmaji, and he disappeared, never to come back again. Of course, he is there manifesting in so many different Narsinga forms all over the world in his deity form. And most devotees, preachers, he is their Ishtadev. Because Lord Narsingdev continues to perform the act of protecting his devotees. That's the most wonderful thing. So when Lord Narsingdev came, Hiranyakashipu, he was observing that how the Supreme Personality of Godhead looks like. He kept on watching the fierce form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is explained, that Lord was extremely fearsome, angry eyes like a molten gold. Shining mane expanded the dimension of his fearful face. You can imagine, he's already fearful, and the mane was extending it, causing more fear. His deadly teeth, razor sharp tongue, dueling sword. It's like a dueling sword, his tongue. And then ears erect and motionless. Nostrils and mouth like caves of the mountain. Jaws parted fearfully. Body touched the sky. Neck short and thick. Chest broad. His waist was thin. Hairs of body white as rays of the moon. And when Lord Narsingdev came, he started performing the task of destruction. Many demons, simply by seeing, they started collapsing down. And then grabbing them, killing them with all his different hands. And then when Hiranyakashipu attacked Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of Lord Narsingdev, there was a fierce fight. And Lord Narsingdev played with him for some time. And he let him go, like a cat. If you see a cat or a peacock fighting with a snake or a mongoose fighting with a snake, they play around and they let loose. And with a greater force, they feel that we can escape. And that's what Hiranyakashipu was trying to do. Wanted to escape from Lord Narsingdev and prepare himself and attack again. But the demigods in the heavenly planets became very fearful. Because they knew that Hiranyakashipu is watching us this match, siding Lord Narsingdev. Just see, they had no faith. In one sense, they are fearing that if Hiranyakashipu escapes from the Supreme Personality of God, it will come and attack us first. That you are standing there and watching the fun, I'll show you the fun now. I'll kill you all. In fact, it is explained that when Lord Narsingdev came from the pillar, Hiranyakashipu was thinking that I think all these workers who are working, they have put this animal. It was a plot to kill me. He couldn't believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu could come from here. He said it was a plot. The materialistic person can only see a material cause. He cannot see the supreme cause. Even though Prahlad Maharaj kept on speaking to Hiranyakashipu to see from very beginning, the teachings of Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu from very beginning is that you try to see Krishna everywhere. When he asked that question, where do you get your strength from? Who is the source of your power? And Prahlad said, Na kevalam me bhavatascha rajan, savai balam balina cha paresham. He said, my dear father, so easily Prahlad Maharaj spoke, it was so natural for Prahlad to be devotee of Krishna. And it was so natural for Hiranyakashipu to be non-devotee of Krishna. And that is the conflict. Becoming a devotee of the Lord, we have two choices. That to be naturally non-devotee, which is not difficult. You just stay away from devotee's association. You become a non-devotee. It's not very surprising. But to be like Prahlad Maharaj, to be naturally devotee of Krishna, that journey from being a natural demon to being a natural devotee of Krishna, it's a million mile. Ours is a struggle. Therefore, Prabhupada said, don't be surprised if somebody gives up Krishna consciousness, because tendencies of Hiranyakashipu are natural. To be unnaturally unattracted to Krishna is natural in the conditioned soul, in this material world. So big struggle. And what to speak of when there is no endeavor? From Hiranyakashipu's side, there is no endeavor to be a demon. Of course, there was an endeavor to become a greatest demon. That was there. And Prahlad Maharaj's side, there was no endeavor to become a devotee. Very interesting, whenever the teacher, they ask this question, how is that? How is that this buddhi bhedam, this deviant philosophy has come to me, come to you? Who has taught you? It's very endearing, it's very pleasing that how Prahlad says, he said, Naisargikim, he said, just like the magnetic force attracts the iron file. He said, because I'm controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead who carries the disc in his hand. Similarly, my dear father, my dear teachers, my consciousness has been controlled by Krishna and I have no independence. And when the Hiranyakashipu asked Shanda Namarka, when he presented Chavanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam and then Matirna Krishna Parato Svatova Swarthi Gatamhi Vishnum, he said, you have to take the dust of the lotus foot of a pure devotee for you to understand all this thing. So Hiranyakashipu was blazing in anger. He said, who has spoiled his intelligence? And the teacher also glorified indirectly Prahlad Maharaj. Na bhat pranitam, na paro pranitam. He said, it is not by our teaching, neither by the teaching of others. He said, naisargikim rajam. He said, that devotional service is there in Prahlad very naturally. And that is our goal, to be attracted naturally to Krishna. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is an example that how he is so naturally attracted to Krishna. And this clash between naturally attracted to Krishna and not naturally attracted to Krishna brings the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Narsingdev in this world. He comes here. But the demigods, now, demigods' attraction is based upon seeing. Of course, they are great devotees of the Lord, but their devotional service is karma mishra. It's not just devotional service. Unless there is material benefit, They do not substantially present their faith. For Prahlad to be a natural devotee, he does not need to have any external endeavor. Our faith is based upon our experiences. If we have positive experience, our faith goes high. If our experience is not positive, our faith goes down. It is so dependent on external surrounding that we need external resources to maintain our faith. Otherwise, we can't. But Prahlad Maharaj, no external facilities are required to maintain his faith. I think Radhika Ramaprabhu was mentioning, when he was thrown from the cliff, he had the same amount of faith. When he was middle of the cliff, he had the same faith. When he came down, it's not that his faith shot up. Oh, Lord protected me. Now I'm more faithful to the Lord. Of course, anything helps us to increase our faith is good. But material world, there is no facility for increasing our faith. Material does not give any facility to increase our faith. So if we depend on the material situation to increase our faith, it's very deceptive. Therefore, it is explained, one has to hear and chant, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Padam, Padasevanam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam, Dasyam. Only these principles of devotional service will increase our faith. This is the only method which has been given by Prahlad Maharaj and all other acharyas, that if you have connected to this process, your faith will increase. If you are not connected to this process, material world is there to break our faith. And therefore, Prahlad at no point of time stopped performing devotional service. He said this is a direct method of expanding or increasing one's faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. And therefore, the demigods were not very comfortable when Krishna or Lord Narasimhadev let loose Hiranyakashipu. They did not consider that to be a very good idea. That means they had no complete faith. But then again, of course, Supreme Personality of God had grabbed him and he brought him to that assembly hall right in that middle portion, and he kept him on his lap and he pierced him. He killed Hiranyakashipu. And then the demigods, I just wanted to speak some of the prayers of the demigods, that how the demigods offer their prayers compared to Vishnu Dutas and then eventually Prahlad Maharaj. When Supreme Personality of God had appeared, he killed Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj was standing there watching his father being killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there was no regret. In fact, I was here reading one quote of Radhanand Maharaj, very wonderful quote: fierce determination, but at the same time gentle humility. It's a deadly combination. We can't have it. If you are humble, usually our humility is not that humility. That humility is lack of confidence. But it looks like, you know, such a gentle person. And fierce determination is unlimited passion. So passion and sattva guna cannot combine. It's difficult. Either you are passionate or either you are in the mode of goodness. But this determination and humility together, it can only happen just like ecstasies. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains, Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting all kind of ecstatic symptoms. Simultaneously, you could cry and laugh. You can't do that. But Mahaprabhu was able to do it. Simultaneously crying and laughing. Body standing on the hair standing on the end of the body. And then shivering and sweating. You can't shiver and sweat at the same time. Shivering is the sign of cold waves and sweating is the sign of heat. But Mahaprabhu was able to practice this or exhibit the ecstatic symptoms, most opposite elements, when they come together, they can't come together. You can never see sun and moon rising together. Not possible. When the sun is there, you can't see the moon. When the moon is there, you can't see the sun. So therefore, determination and humility together is extremely difficult. And you see, Prahlad Maharaj is that character. His determination to practice Krishna consciousness did not destroy his gentle behavior. At all time, when he comes to his father, he touches the feet of his father. Usually, if you have a demonic father and your relatives are like that, you take pleasure in smashing them. Hey, my father is a demon. My relative is a demon. We take pleasure so that, you know, I am Prahlad Maharaj. Or I am a great devotee. But to respect even such a personality, and Prahlad being such a great devotee, he's not a compromising figure. When I come to the temple, I'll practice my devotional service. When I go home, you know, I just pacify my father, watch some television with him, you know, sit and talk, chit-chat with him so that he does not disturb my spiritual life. Prahlad Maharaj did not think from that a practical way. And therefore he had a trouble. But that trouble invoked the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could have said, hide your spiritual practice. In fact, we also counsel people. Why? Because we are not natural devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If you counsel people, go home and say whatever you want to say. You demon. You are not my parents. And that's what students are looking for, to say that in the name of Krishna. And that spoils the whole thing. So when Prahlad said to his father that Sada samudvigna diyat asad grad hitvatma patam grahamanda kutam vanam gatoya dharim ashrayat. He was so innocent. There was extreme degree of innocence. There was no desire to hurt his father. But he took it like that. And then when there is a discussion between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu at the end, and Prahlad Maharaj saying, my dear father, you have conquered everything. But all big conquerors, where are they now? They have gone. Why can't you conquer your six enemies? Give up this stupidity of enmity towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why can't you surrender? There is fierce determination of Prahlad, but at the same time he is doing it in such a gentle way that attracted Lord Narasingha, not Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was fiercely angry. Just reading this passages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, the discussion spoken by Narad Muni, all the characters, Narad Muni comes alive, Yudhishthira Maharaj comes alive, Sukadeva Goswami comes alive, Parikshit Maharaj comes alive, Hiranyakashipu comes alive, Lord Narasingha comes alive, all the demigods come. And that is the benediction. The benediction is that, you know, anybody, if he comes in contact with this section of the Bhagavatam, the whole story begins by Parikshit Maharaj raising this question, that how can Supreme Personality of Godhead be partial? How can he be envious of the demons? He said, this is causing great disturbance in my mind. Therefore, my dear Lord, Sukadeva Goswami, please answer, please clarify my doubt. I rest my case. Parikshit Maharaj said that. And Sukadeva Goswami congratulated Parikshit Maharaj because the questions were raised, but still there was humility. Another character, Parikshit Maharaj, a great king, but what a character, what a humility he had. Again, it is natural. It is not. You can't practice humility in your behavior. You can't act humble. You have to be humble. When you act humble, that is diplomacy. That is not humility. It's a natural inbuilt system. You can't pray to Krishna standing in front of the deities because others are standing. It's a boring act if you actually don't have that connection to the Supreme Personality of God. Of course, still, we should imitate, whether it is boring or no boring, rather than standing in some exciting material event. Still, even if it is boring, one has to stand in the presence of the Lord. So Sukadeva Goswami, after hearing the question of, I'm going everywhere, sorry, you know, there is no flow. But that's how Prahlad Maharaj's pastime is. you could take anywhere, whatever you feel nice, and then you speak, because I have the floor, I will speak. So Hiranyakashipu, and then Sukadeva Goswami congratulated Parikshit Maharaj, and he narrated, you know what? He said, you are asking this question of Lord being partial, Lord being envious to the demons. But you know what happened? When Lord Krishna killed Shishupal with a Sudarshan Chakra, you have seen it. He's saying this to Sukadeva Parikshit Maharaj, that your grandfather saw that Shishupal was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Shishupal attained perfection. So Parikshit is asking question, why Krishna is partial, and his grandfather is asking why Krishna is so magnanimous. That this person, Shishupal, was born demon. Nobody taught him to be envious of Krishna. And rather than crying, he was blaspheming Krishna. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, this person should have had a white leprosy all over his body, including on his tongue. But rather than having a white leprosy, he was stout and strong. He was able to speak nicely. How is it possible? He said, this is bewildering. And then Narad Muni narrated the three lives of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And then again he said, how can eternal associate of the Lord fall here? How is it possible? And he said, how can a father torment his son? How can a father do it? So actually Parikshit's question was answered by narrating the story of Yudhishthir seeing Shishupal being killed and getting a liberation. That was sufficient. But Sukadeva Goswami did not stop there. No, he was excited to narrate everything what Narad Muni told according to the question of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Father torturing his son, the great souls coming from the spiritual world, offending four Kumaras. All that questions were answered by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. He gave more answer, and that was welcomed by Parikshit Maharaj. He didn't say, okay, enough, now go to the next one. Because the narration of Prahlad Maharaj, he kept on hearing. So when Lord Brahmaji, when he saw, how does he see? Very interesting, every demigod sees the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev based upon how Lord Narasimhadev is affecting in their personal life. Their connection to Lord Narasimhadev is based upon how he is affecting in their personal life. Means seeing the Lord from your own personal life. And that's not a very, it's not a pure devotional service in one sense. Because you don't see Krishna based upon how he affects your life. That is materialistic vision in one sense. Like somebody was asking that if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and it says, Karmani Nirdhati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam, that it destroys his karma, but sometimes we see that we are suffering in our life. And that suffering is real. It's substantial. And because that suffering is real, you know, we can experience lack of conviction in practicing devotional service. And then some other devotee is suffering, but in that suffering also is able to practice devotional service. That means, it is not that Krishna is the power to eliminate our karma. Very logical, but absolutely wrong from a devotional point of view. That Krishna is not actually fully controlling to destroy our karma. Rather, devotee by his positive attitude can work out his karma. And that's what people are presenting nowadays. If you have a positive attitude, if your mind frame is good, then it doesn't matter what happens to your surrounding. That is atheistic philosophy. When we give attention to such philosophy, just be positive in your attitude, then everything will work nicely. It's a most dangerous, obnoxious philosophy for devotees to, you know, take shelter of. Why? Because if you have your right attitude, it doesn't matter either it's a bad karma or good karma, you can handle it. Why? Because you see, even devotees are suffering, and some devotees are suffering and their faith is becoming minimized. Other devotees are suffering, they continue to practice. It is not the process, it is the consciousness, it is the attitude, the strong mind. So develop a strong mind. Whether you chant Hare Krishna or you don't chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't matter. Because you see, those who chant Hare Krishna, they chant with less faith when there is a suffering. You see also some people chant Hare Krishna with a greater conviction. So it is not chanting Hare Krishna which is giving greater faith or less faith. It is how you respond to the surrounding. Very dangerous philosophy. Extremely dangerous philosophy. The simple answer is that the source is Krishna. Whether you are positive attitude or negative attitude, the source is Krishna according to how you transfer it. That is the Vaishnava understanding. Therefore, anything which talks about mundane good character, mundane consultancy about all the seminars, eventually takes people, devotees away from Krishna conscious philosophy. It's guaranteed. 100%. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj's pastime is the pastime of not simply a developing positive attitude for the surrounding, rather taking shelter of Krishna. It's a taking shelter of Krishna. I take shelter of Krishna whether Krishna changes my lifestyle or does not change my lifestyle. Either so suffering continue to exist or suffering does not continue to exist. He said, I'm not going to change my attitude of taking shelter of Krishna. That is the super positiveness. So therefore, here Prahlada's approach is different and the demigod's approach is different. Lord Brahmaji, he is praying that Vichitra Viryaya Pavitra Karmane Vishwasya Sargasthiti Samyamana Gunai. Now because he is the creator, based upon his creation, Brahmaji is saying that this material world is created and vichitra karma, you perform vichitra karma. What is your vichitra karma? Srila Prabhupada explains, Jai Vijay confidential friends, and they were cursed. Who cursed them? Four Kumaras cursed. And who was responsible? It was the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he spoke in the third canto. Again in their family, one great devotee is born. Great devotees were made into demon, and in the family of demon, great devotee was born. And Lord Narsingdev came to kill these demons. Varadev came to kill Hiranyaksha, and Lord Narsingdev came to kill Hiranyakashipu. He said, who can understand this? What to speak of Lord, that we cannot understand the activities of devotees. So Lord Brahmaji is seeing from that creation's point of view. And Lord Shiva says, Kopakala yugantaste hatoyam asuro alpaka. He says, my Lord, I am not surprised. Your anger is nothing but Kopakal. At the end of annihilation, I take that role. I represent your anger and that causes destruction. So therefore, Lord Shiva is reminding Lord Narsingdev that, you know, you are taking that role. Again, Lord Shiva is also seeing from his perspective. And then Indra, he says, Daitya Kranta Rade Kamalam Tad Graham Pratyabhodi. Indra says, my dear Lord, that all the demigods are naturally attached to you. They have you in their heart. They place you in their heart. But now because of Hiranyakashipu, the fear of Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that we dethroned you. You are out of our heart and the fear was staying in our heart. They were fearful. Why? Because the material resources are there. Now you have killed Hiranyakashipu, therefore that fear has gone. No. Hiranyakashipu is killed. Therefore you are coming now. Now that is again, there is obstacle. There is a pratihata in the bhakti. Whether it is fearful of Hiranyakashipu or not, Lord should reside. But Indra is saying, no, you are not there. The fear of Hiranyakashipu was there. Now you have killed Hiranyakashipu. Now you occupy your place. I cannot have that facility. You have to occupy. So Lord has to perform endeavor to stay in the heart of his devotees. Just like, you know, when Sugriva and Lord came, Lord Ram, and Sugriva was asking so many questions. Are you powerful enough to kill Vali? Do this. And Lord Ram did that also. Exhibition. you know, kicked the Dandubi's dry body. It flew so high. Then Sugriva was using his intelligence. He said, it's a dry body. It was not dry before. So that means if a dry body can be thrown like this, Vali must be more superior. So he said, okay, he did it when it was wet. That is called logic and reason, which keeps one away from devotional. So he said, can you kill? Can you destroy 7 salt tree? And Lord Ram took one arrow, shot 7 salt tree, destroyed the salt tree, went to the lower planetary system, killed many demons, and came up back to Lord Ram's quiver. And then Sugriv thought, I can't think beyond this. Then he offered his obeisances. So then one devotee said, just see, Lord has to go through so much an effort to take one obeisances from one of his devotee. A devotee will not offer spontaneously obeisances to the Lord. You have to convince him logically. Why should I offer obeisances? Then you have to tell him, okay, now I will offer. So he said, just see, Lord has to go through such an endeavor to take one obeisances from his devotee. So similarly, here Indra, in one sense, is saying, now you are killed, now you can take place. I will sit. Whenever you are there, you are there. When demons are there, demons will be there. Changing situation. That was Indra said. And then great sages said, my dear Lord, tapasya is the principle for human being. Austerity. And Hiranyakashipu stopped austerity. He said, only do hard work. He wanted to remove all the facilities for the demigods and stop all the austerities. And that's what we see in Kali Yuga. All this big, big international school, as our Rishikeshanandru aptly said, more facilities is how they attract the students. Air conditional, big rooms, no swimming pool, and this and that. Absolutely against the Vedic system of education. Vedic system of education is, Chanakya Pandit says, if a student does not have life of austerity, where is the question of learning education? He said, if there is no tapasya, there is no education. And the present education, the whole, wherever you go, so many international schools are coming, and they only talk about facilities. And that facility is called as education. As minimal austerity is performed by the student. Absolutely against the culture of the Vedic system. Vedic system means no facilities for your studies. As less as possible. No roof and no nice marble floor. Sit underneath the tree and no cooking facilities. You go and beg from different houses. Collect your own food. Can't expect the mother to send nice tiffin. No. You stay under the teacher and then he will tell when to eat. Uddalaka's story is there in the Mahabharata. The beginning of Mahabharata begins with this kind of a story where a student is asked by Guru, okay, you're going to beg? He said, why you're still fat? He said, I drink some cow's milk. He said, no, that is not fair. You cannot drink cow's milk. He was collecting grains also, but bring the grains, but drink the milk. But Guru said, you can't drink the milk. He stopped drinking the milk. But still he was stout. So Guru asked, why you are still strong? He said, when the calf drinks the milk from the cow, the foam is still there. So I collect that and I eat. He said, that is also not allowed. We cannot do that. And then he stops drinking water also. It's a test. And eventually a disciple falls in the well. And Ashwini Kumaras, they come. And they say, you know, come on, we will help you. He said, you just agree. He said, no, I have no permission of my spiritual master to do this. Unless he gives the permission, I cannot. So he cannot take the medicine of Ashwini Kumar. And then the teacher comes and then he's happy with him. And then he gives all the knowledge to him. So knowledge in the Vedic culture is received based upon submission, respect and austerities. And Kali Yuga, no. You don't have to. One of our boy was saying, his brother is about 10 years younger to him. So younger boy wants to call his brother Dada, you know. He said, I don't like that. He said, I want him to call by name only. That is demonic civilization. A teacher asking his student, you sit with me, both of us will smoke cigarette, and then you don't call me a professor or a teacher. Just call me by name. Just call me by name. Just see, such a difference of education system, and it sounds such an intimate relationship between teacher and a student. Both are sitting together. First the student lights the cigarette, and the maha is smoked by the guru. Now, what kind of education is that? So therefore here, the great sages, what they are saying, that Hiranyakashipu removed this principle of tapasya. And now since you have killed Hiranyakashipu, we can again perform tapasya. And Srila Prabhupada explains that human life, the main duty is to perform tapasya. When the parents pamper their children from very beginning, it's not their fault. If the children are pampered, it is not the fault of the children, because the beginning training is wrong. Whatever you want, anytime you eat. You want chocolate, I will give you. You want this, I will give you. So where is the question of tapasya? Unfortunately, you know, I just want to say a practical part also. Our Damodar Prabhu, you know, he's an IITian. He has no reason. And he was cooking such nice prasad. Two sabjis, going to the market. He's cooking nice prasad. But our children don't eat that. Very little. I thought, my God, such austere children. But then go back and remove their bags. You know, they packed food. And they relish that. So then we made them cook. You know, just see what it takes to cook prasad. Now he's going to the market buying everything, and alone you have got 50 kids. Try cooking. And what to speak of cooking, cutting vegetable, they couldn't cut in proper shape also. The fingers were getting cut. Making atta was so difficult. Then at least at that point they realize this cooking is very difficult. Therefore we should eat packed food. So therefore austerity has to be taught from very beginning. For everybody, including the brahmacharis also. Then next, they talk about the pitris they spoke. This demon was enjoying Shraddha and drank the sesame seeds which was meant for the four fathers. And now you have killed this demon and removed all that paraphernalia which was enjoyed by Hiranyakashipu and offering it back to the pitris. And then vidyadharas, who are expert in appear, making appear and disappear, they had lost their knowledge. Nagas and Manu talked about law. Manu, Samhita is meant for the human beings. And the demonic civilization will destroy Manu Samhita. Hiranyakashipu did that. You don't have to come to Kali Yuga to see the demonic influence. Hiranyakashipu did it in such a way that all the cultured activities were destroyed. He did everything artificial. Modern civilization means do it artificially and destroy organically. And then Prajapatya. Brahma and Shiva, and we were created to follow your order, but Hiranyakashipu forbid us to create good progeny. And Gandharva said, my dear Lord, we were engaged in dancing for you, singing for you, but this rascal Hiranyakashipu engaged us in our, for us. And you can understand this very clearly. The art of culture is all directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the classical singing, they say, when the Mughals came, all these great singers, they used to sing for Krishna. But then they started singing for the Rajas, the king, glorification of the king. And nowadays, big, you know, entertainment people, where do they go? They go to big marriages of rich people. And they have no connection. The connection is that you are offered money, you go and sing for them. So that all that education which is there is meant for glorifying Lord Vishnu. So Gandharva say that this demon had taken it away and he wanted us to sing for him. And now we get back our service to sing for you. Everybody said, different people, and then ultimately Vishnu Parshada said, All the demigods are connected to material world, therefore they are speaking from a material point of view. But the Vishnu Parshada, they say, we have seen your wonderful form as Narsingha, meant for good fortune of all the world. We can understand Hiranyakashipu was Jay, who was your servant, cursed by a Brahmana. Killing him, you have given a special mercy to him. No demigod, nobody said this. They only said, good you have killed. But here, the Vishnu Parshada are saying, Lord, you are so merciful to Hiranyakashipu. By killing, you are exhibiting your mercy. So they have the power to see good in Hiranyakashipu also. I was discussing with Nityananda yesterday. That is Vedic culture. In Vedic culture, the Vedic philosophy is to see God in hellish situation also. If somebody is not practicing devotional service, he is hell-bent to go there. There also he tried to find. Like Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard the description of hellish planet from Sukadeva Goswami, his question was, how can they be delivered? He is not eager to send people to hell. His eagerness to bring people from hell. Therefore, that is a cultural philosophy, the Vedic philosophy, cultured philosophy, that is there any facility for someone who is in hell to come back? So this description is there in the Bhagavad. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Lord Krishna went to hell looking for the Guru's children and he blew his conch and a Kumbhipak stopped working and all the people in the hell got delivered. And they had not performed any devotional service, guaranteed. In Christianity, you are sent to hell if you don't follow Jesus. That is the difference. If you don't follow Jesus, if you don't take shelter of Jesus, you go to hell. They are more eager to send you to hell than you to follow the mercy of Jesus. But in Vedic culture, even if you are in hell, we will give you some facility. And then the third one, you know, it's not that you go to hell after death, we will send you now only by terrorist attack. So dharma is in the highest level, is there in the Vedic culture? No, it's a fact. Because in Vedic culture, it is mutually inclusive. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this point very nicely. That creating that facility, you don't stop people by scaring them. Therefore, the students of Bhagavata do not scare people about hellish planet. And that's what Parikshit Maharaj was tested by Sukadeva Goswami and he passed the test. He said, is there any facility? And then he said, yes. Kalair dosha nidirajan asti eka mahan guda. That one good quality in this age of Kali is that even in this surrounding, if someone chants the holy names of the Lord, he'll go back to the spiritual world. Krishna also is like that in the Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't matter. If you don't surrender to me, no problem. Do regulative devotional service. You can't do that, offer some fruits of your labor. If you can't do that, do for some good cause. In this way, you'll be progressing. It's a very vast. So therefore, the whole philosophy, when somebody says, no, only this way, then you should understand, it's such a narrow path. One may not want to accept him as a saint, want to accept somebody else as a saint. There should be a facility for him also. It's a very inclusive religion. And this is what Vishnu Parshad, being a Vaishnava, they are seeing Hiranyakashipu not as a demon. They are seeing the whole act as mercy of Lord Narsingdev to bring him back to the spiritual world. And in this way, all the demigods offered prayers. And still Lord Narsingdev decided not to be pleased by their prayers. He was not pacified by their prayers. And Lord Brahma, Lakshmi was also, did not pacify him. Brahmaji and Lakshmi Preshita, they encouraged Prahlad Maharaj, you go and offer your prayers. And Prahlad Maharaj comes closer to the Lord, fearlessly. There is no fear. And he offers most beautiful prayers. And he says, why is he qualified to offer prayers when all the demigods are not able to pacify you? Brahmadayo Suragana. He said, all these great demigods are not able to pacify you. What is my qualification? Then he talks how Gajendra could pacify you. It is not that material qualification makes one qualified. He said, Gajendra could pacify you. He said, therefore, my Lord, I can offer prayers to you. And Prahlad Maharaj starts offering his prayers. And we will see the prayers in the evening. Radha Gopinath will speak about the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj offered to Lord Narasimhadev. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Any comments more than a question? Karam Prabhu? Any nectar?
This was my experience in when I went to South Indian temples, that they emphasize more on Lakshmi Narasimha than Prahlad Narasimha. Like, Prahlad is not so much a feature. So, but we see in Bhagavatam that Lakshmi could not please Narasimha Dev, whereas Prahlad pleased. So, why that emphasis is there?
I don't know. One thing is very clear, again, another principle in Vedic philosophy. Again, it shows the highest understanding that in the Vedic culture, in Vedic philosophical understanding, the Lord is never alone. He is with His energy. You don't find this in the Western philosophy or other religion. That only Father is there, but Mother is not there. Kingdom of God, in the name of Father we pray, but where is the Mother there? A Father without Mother, there is some problem. So therefore, if you see Lord Narasimhadev, you have to see Lakshmi also. If you see Ram, you have to see Sita also. If you see Krishna, you have to see Radharani also. If you see Dwarka, you have to see Rukmini also. They are not alone. When they are alone, then their justice, you know, is very powerful. When Radharani is there, then more mercy is there. Prabhupada talks about. Because the feminine part of the Lord is the mercy factor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it's only justice. And therefore, there is a lot of punishment, eternal condemnation, hell or heaven, hell, eternal hell. No, in the Vedic life, because there is, Sita is there. Like somebody was saying that, why Lord Ram killed Tataka, not Shurpanaka? Because when Tataka was being killed, Sita was not there. If Sita was there, Tataka would have been only spared with some punishment. Because Sita was there near Shurpanaka, Shurpanaka's life was spared. Again, Kakasur, the son of Indra, he committed greatest violence against Sita. But he was protected. Why? Because Mother Sita was there. Ravan was killed because Sita was not there. So therefore, when Lord is alone and you approach him, that is very dangerous. So that is our style. The style of, and in the Gaudiya Vaishnava, that reaches the highest. No? Radharani and Krishna. So therefore, they're on certain on level, which is absolutely, from that point of view, it's 100% bona fide. Prahlad would, it's not okay, why are you having that position? I want to sit there. No, he wants to worship Lord Vishnu as any other devotee, along with Lakshmi. Without Lakshmi, that she personifies Karunya, compassion. And Lord Narayan personifies justice. So that combination is what is workable. And therefore there is a hope for us. Without the energetic, only energy is not Vedic culture. Yes?
Hare Krishna. One comment for this previous question, that Lakshmi Devi is a Pran Priya for Narayana. So she resides in heart of Vishnu. So that may be the reason that why they combine Lakshmi Narayana, Devi Narayana, Badri Narayana. And my question is, like, if I'm not mistaken, Bali Raja was, Prahlad Maharaj was ancestor to Bali Raja? And
grandson of Prahlad.
Okay, and even Hiranyakashipu, he was ancestor for Prahlad Maharaj. So what was the peculiarity or speciality of that kul? Like Rama appeared as Raghuvanshi or Ikshvaku, then Krishna appeared as Yaduvanshi. So what was the peculiarity of that kul, that two such great personalities appeared into two great devotions?
Just in that kul, how many lords were appearing? For that kul, how many lords appeared?
Yeah.
Varadev came, Narsingdev came, Vamandev came, and then while churning the milk ocean, so many incarnations came, Mohini Murthy came, all connected to Bali Maharaj's story only. Forget about the kul, see the master of the kul, all the different lords. I think there is no other parivar or a family where so many incarnations came as much as for the family of Hiranyakashipu. So many incarnations. Unlimited incarnations. Yes.
In our initial stages, we take resort of logic and reasoning and rationality. Mm. So my question is, to what degree we need to take resort of logic, reasoning and rationality? Thank you.
Yeah, as long as we offer our obeisances like Sugriv, that's okay. Then eventually one has to... The whole process of devotional service, logic does not soften our heart. Intellectual conviction comes, okay, God exists. If you prove God's existence mathematically, that is not a sign that your affection for Lord develops. The affection and attachment for the Lord is a different affair altogether. Because logic is limited. Therefore, one of the acharyas of Madhvas, they say that logic is like Lakshman Rekha. When you try to go across Lakshman Rekha, then you fall in trouble. You have to have that. Can't go beyond this. Stay here. Logic is only up to this much. And Guru says, you know, this is Lakshman Rekha, do not go beyond. If you go beyond, then that same logic can cause atheism also. So therefore, yes, in the beginning stages, because when we raise this question, how can you prove the existence of God? That shows the contamination. That is not a sign of intelligence. Asking questions in regards to the existence of Lord is not a sign of intelligence. That's a sign of contamination caused by a materialistic education system. To have faith in God is a natural phenomenon for a baby. I tell this story. I remember when families to come with their child. And the child would come with his mother and naturally take a coin from his mother, put in the hundi, offer obeisances, bow down by seeing the Lord. I never saw that mother teaching him, okay, now offer obeisances. Then slowly, slowly would stand in the middle here, no more going closer. Then as he was growing, then he would come to the door. And I've seen him waiting for mother to come up, but stop coming to the temple. So as he was growing in the material world, he was staying away from Krishna. When we are in the womb of the mother, Shastra says, we pray to Krishna that I don't want to be here. So material world is so contaminated by so-called material logic and reason. It has no power to bring us closer to Krishna. Rather, it takes far away from Krishna. So the devotees, what they do, they take that poison of logic, which is like a thorn, and use it as minimal as possible and remove. Both thorns are thrown away far distance and the new approach starts. And what is that new approach? The new approach is beyond logic. The logic of being wonderstruck by Krishna's activity, getting attracted by Srimad Bhagavatam, getting attracted by the holy name, getting attracted by the deity worship. What logic deity worship has from that point of view? There is no logic. But it has affection. What logic the holy name has, repeating the holy names continuously. You can't logically prove. It's a question of experience. One has to experience it. And we are chanting Hare Krishna putting that faith, one day I will experience. Therefore, if someone comes for an outsider, a non-devotee, a non-believer, when he comes and he sees so many people are wasting their time hearing to a stupid talk be given by a stupid person, wasting his time and wasting 500 people their time and fasting till evening, what logic is there in that? Starving, you know, water, and then not eating. There is no logic. And especially in summer season. But what is the logic? The logic is sacrifice. So therefore, logic has to be kept aside. Logic is not entertained in the path of devotional service. We require logic because we are in Kali Yuga and we are affected by material intelligence. Just like we require PPT, PowerPoint presentation. Now that is the thing. More than you speak, you show PowerPoint to convince people. As fast as possible, as many pictures as possible, as fast movement as possible. If more project is better than. So therefore, whatever is available in the material world, which is convincing people for materialistic life, we use to a certain extent, you know, as a PowerPoint of different pictures of Krishna is not going to give rise to devotional service. You don't develop love for Krishna by seeing different pictures of Krishna. You have to chant Hare Krishna. You have to associate with devotee. You have to read Bhagavatam. You have to worship the deities. These are the things which will give rise to love. Not any amount of materialistic influence to convince us, you know, this is how you should be devotee. It brings to certain level and then you go beyond. Fortunate are those are when they come to the temple, they see the Lord and they say, yes, this is God. I want to worship Him. They are the most fortunate. Not those who are after so much of hammering. Means devotees, that devotee is so determined to make him a devotee, that's how he becomes a devotee. Ties his hands, you know, because he's a friend. And bombards him with so much of logic, so much of philosophy. And ultimate logic is that at least do it for my sake. This is not preaching. But if that is working for someone to chant Hare Krishna, no, one can do that. But then I'm saying about developing affection and love is a totally different domain altogether. And that's what the Prahlad Maharaj's life. Only by the grace of pure devotee, only by the grace of the Lord, he had a natural attraction for Krishna. Therefore, Jayadvaita Maharaj said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy in the beginning is great. You remember all the initiation ceremonies. Everybody is so excited while taking initiation. Everybody is excited when he goes back to the spiritual world. But the in-between journey. Japa hua kya? Nahi, kal ka bacha hai char. Aur aaj ka abhi bhi karna hai. And somebody is more honest, he will say, my 670 rounds are remaining. And I'll cover them. Why you're not chanting? He said, no taste. The journey is very difficult. Going to Mayapur, exciting. But the journey in summer from Bombay to Kolkata with all the stinking fish smell, you know, people eating fish in the, because fish is a common food they carry everywhere in the train. It's a torturous. And then what to speak of coming to Kolkata to Mayapur, more torturous, the journey, the bumpy roads and scary driving, you know, and the buses, whatever instruments are there in the bus, all removed by the communist people. It's because it's all public property, so loot everything. So uncomfortable journey. But when you get down at the gate, when you see Mayapur, you said, wow, that's all that austerity is worth taking. But till then, the difficulty is there. So therefore, excitement is there in the beginning and excitement is there in the end. But the middle path is the most difficult one. The story of a Brahmana, one who worshipped Lord Narsingdev Again, the point, same point that Prahlad Maharaj's life is a life worshipping Krishna for the sake of worshipping. No other reason. You know, to protect, I need a protection, then it is not, there is no guarantee that we will continue to worship. For pleasure, there is no guarantee that we will continue to worship. To be freed from fear, there is no guarantee that you will worship Krishna. If you have any other reason for worshipping the Lord other than I want to worship Krishna, there is always that guarantee of not worshipping Krishna. Therefore, that Sharanagati means what? Sharanagati means in all condition, I am going to worship Krishna. So that is the story of that Brahman who worshipped in South India. You know, he was a nice Brahmana worshipping the Lord. And he went to some shop. He saw a butcher shop, the Shila, a stone. But it was nothing than other than Shila, Shaligram Shila. Now people talk about, you know, just see in India, this is Vedic culture. And they use Vastu Shastra also. What is Vastu Shastra? Do not keep the picture of Krishna and Arjun fighting on the battlefield. That will bring inauspiciousness. That will bring war. Can you call them followers of Vastu Shastra? Vastu Shastra originate from the Vedic culture. And what is Vastu, real Vastu? The substance of Vastu is Krishna. And the Vastu says, do not keep Krishna and the greatest of the devotee in your house. So that is not a house, that is a smashan. However nicely you decorate the smashan, however nice peace is there in that smashan, that is nothing but smashan. And somebody say, do not you keep Krishna's picture with the flute, because flute as a whole, and that denotes death. Can you imagine people talk like this? And in the name of Vastu only. What is Vastu? Connected to Vedic literature. It's a Upaveda. So from your life, Krishna is removed in the name of Vedas. Such a demonic principle. For the Pandavas, you know, either Krishna appears as a death personified, killing every member of their family by his presence, we don't mind. But we want Krishna. And that is bhakti. So how can people understand this concept? For any other reason. So this Brahmana had the Shaligram Shila, some butcher was using it as a weighing scale. Why? Because many Brahmanas got it and they were getting destroyed. Like Shaligram Shila, there are certain Shila, they increase your prosperity. There are certain Shila, they destroy. It is not inauspicious. The nature of that Shila is that it is increasing your renunciation, but you call it as inauspiciousness. He said, what can the Shila do? If you worship that Shila, that the nature of that Shaligram Shila is to make you renounced. And if you call, oh, I am getting inauspiciousness in my life, I don't want a Shila, then you never realize what that Shila is meant for. So this Shila was taken. Many Brahmanas were worshipping, then they stopped worshipping, then eventually it landed in the shop of a butcher. And Krishna, the butcher was using it as a weighing scale. And this Brahmana saw, and he was shocked. And he picked up that Shila, came home, did Abhishek, because you don't install Shaligram Shila. Shaligram Shila, Lord is already installed. He himself has installed many millions of years back, just to benedict that woman who was a chaste lady. And then he started worshipping the Lord, came in his room and said, look, don't keep me here. People like your community only, because I caused some trouble to them, they threw me away from here. They made me orphan. Better off there only. He said, take me there, otherwise I will destroy. Because that is my nature. I have destroyed many Brahmanas, their wealth, their family, their children. And therefore they were scared and they kept me here. And there is nothing to destroy for that, because he's a butcher. So this Brahmana said, that is called Sharanagati. They said, Lord, everything comes from you. You are the source of everything. I mean, everything is taken away. That is also your grace. So in giving and in losing, I don't lose anything. That is Sharanagati. He said, I don't care. He said, then it's up to you. He kept the Shila. He lost his wife. Wife died. Very clear, Lord had indicated him. Lost his children, lost his cows, lost his land, lost everything. The students stopped coming, felt Anyone who's connected to him losing everything, so better not be connected to him. We are no more his student. They openly declared, we are not his student. And he became sick. He was about to die. Few students came, you know, and he was so determined to worship Lord Narasimhadev. He said, why don't you, I've not asked any charity from you, Guru Dakshina, why don't you keep the Shaligram Shila with you? They said, after seeing all that you are expecting us to keep, they said, we are not going to do it. Then he said, okay, when I die, I said, the Shila has to go with me. Keep on my chest and let me be burnt along with the Shila. But he said, I'm not going to keep it in that shop. He said, that is my conviction. And then the Lord appeared. He said, I have been defeated. I am pleased by your devotion. It was not a test. It was a reality. Krishna was not testing him. And if you know the testing, then you would struggle hard to pass the test. When the paper is tough, a teacher makes the paper tough, then you struggle. But when the teacher has decided to make you fail, how can you pass? The bhakti is like that. Krishna decided here that I'm going to fail you in your conviction. It was not a test. But he was so powerful than Krishna, Lord Narasimhadev, he defeated Lord Narasimhadev. And Lord Narasimhadev came and said, I am defeated. Therefore, Krishna is the magnet. We are like iron files. But bhakti makes iron foil into a magnet and Krishna becomes like an iron and is attracted. You can never see iron having the power to attract the magnet. It's other way around. Magnet attracts the iron. Never that iron attracts. But bhakti is such way, bhakti is such a process that a small insignificant iron becomes a magnet, and the magnetic source of all magnetic force and source of all metal is, you know, unrestrictedly attracted to this living force, which is, that is bhakti. Therefore, Prabhupada in the Bhakti Rasamrita explains, Krishna means all attractive, attracts everybody and everything. And devotional service attracts even Krishna. That is the conclusion of Prahlad's story. Lord Narasimhadev was a great magnet and Prahlad became greater magnet and he was attracted. He attracted Lord Narasimhadev. And Narasimhadev came, offered his benediction, gave everything to Prahlad and he went back feeling satisfied. I got to see my devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki, Narasimha Bhagwan ki, Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki, Lakshmi Narasimha Bhagwan ki, Jai.